Reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Back in January and February, as we made our way through the Sundays after Epiphany, we began a semi-continuous reading of Luke's Gospel, with chapters 3 through 6. In the Sundays after Pentecost, with Lent and Easter now past, we pick up that semi-continuous reading until, in November, on the final Sunday of the church year, we'll have made it all the way to chapter 23 of Luke. Because Easter was so late this year, though, the three Sundays when selections from Luke's 7th chapter would have been heard were co-opted by Easter 7 and then the feasts of Pentecost and Holy Trinity. That means we didn't get a chance to consider Jesus' healing of a centurion's servant, raising back to life the son of a widow outside the town of Nain, and the forgiving of a sinful woman when he was a dinner guest at Simon the Pharisee's house. These accounts, though, are the context for today's gospel. It's a shame we didn't get to hear Luke tell of Jesus showing his authority over sickness, death, and sin. Because today Luke follows up, reporting on Jesus' authority over the forces of the devil. If you think about it, it's quite a savior Luke presents to us in his 7th and 8th chapters. One who can stop sickness and death dead in their tracks. One who has authority to forgive sin and cancel guilt. One before whom a legion of demons, for reference, a Roman legion in Jesus' day consisted of more than 5,000 men, before whom a legion of demons resorted to begging him not to send them into the abyss. First sickness, then death, followed by sin, and now Satan. Jesus has authority over each of these enemies of ours, and he exercises that authority in mercy toward weak and sinful men and women. As he arrived at the shore across from Galilee, Jesus met a man possessed by demons. Who knows what we might have thought had we been confronted by such a sight? Luke makes clear just how pitiful this man's state was. He was a wild man. He was naked, and the state of his body revealed that he had been so for quite some time. He lived not in a house, but among the tombs. More than once he had been confined by the authorities, perhaps as much for his own safety as for that of others. Yet their chains and shackles couldn't hold him. Under the control of the demons, he would break his bonds and would be driven by them out into the desert. This man was not in possession of his faculties. He didn't have control of what he did or where he went. The demons could use and abuse him as they pleased. And there wasn't anything that he could do about it. He was utterly and completely helpless against their power. And there was no escape for him. In some ways, each of us shares the unfortunate man's condition. We say as much regularly at the beginning of the divine service. We confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Now, of course, that's not to say that we are compelled to give in to each and every temptation we face. Unlike the man in our text, we are not completely helpless pawns of the devil. Nevertheless, the sad truth is that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. This sin, or that one, you may be able to resist, at least some of the time. When you get angry, you don't need to let your anger become murderous violence. But however much you try, you cannot be holy as the Lord your God is holy. By nature, and in what we think and say and do, we show each day, if we're honest with ourselves, every hour, that we don't love God above all things. When we focus our heart and soul and strength and mind on the one who's most important to us, more often than not, we're looking at ourselves, not at God. St. Paul is describing the predicament we Christians face each day when he writes, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right. but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. So then, like the man in our text, you and I also need help from outside ourselves. Note, though, that the man in our text didn't come to Jesus. Jesus came to him. Only after Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man did the man cry out and fall down before Jesus and say with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you not to torment me." It's interesting that when Jesus came to dine with Simon the Pharisee, Simon didn't know what to make of Jesus. Was he a prophet? Well, perhaps not, Simon had concluded. After all, he let this sinful woman wash his feet. There was no such uncertainty for the demons. They knew what the most pious members of that society didn't, that Jesus was not merely a prophet, that he was the Son of the Most High God. In the verse just before our text, Luke reported that the disciples marveled, saying to one another concerning Jesus, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and waves, and they obey him?" Even Jesus' disciples had not yet identified him as the Christ of God. And yet the demons knew. They knew, and it caused them to shudder. They knew who Jesus was. More than that, they knew his authority. Their place, their eternal place, would be the abyss, the bottomless pit. And they knew that Jesus could send them there. The demons, for there were many of them, begged Jesus to let them enter into a large herd of pigs that was feeding nearby, some 2,000 of them, according to Mark. With his permission, they entered the swine, which promptly rushed down into the lake where they all drowned. In fear and amazement, those herding the pigs had fled and reported everything that had happened. When the people of the town heard the report, they came out to see for themselves. And they found that man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Imagine the juxtaposition of these two sights. The great mass of pig carcasses bobbing in the water and washing up on shore. And the wild man, tamed, clothed, and sitting as a student at Jesus' feet. The explanation they were given by those who had observed it all matched the evidence they could see. This man Jesus was certainly no ordinary man. Even the demons had obeyed him. Whatever he wasn't safe. That is, they were not safe in his presence, not with his authority. The man from whom the demons had gone, however, was not afraid of him. Certainly Jesus had tremendous authority, but he had used it in the service of mercy to rescue him from the clutches of Satan and his minions. This man knew how bad it could be, and he wanted to stay with Jesus, for Jesus had delivered him. When Jesus got into the boat to depart, understandably, the man wanted to go with him. Jesus had saved him from the power of the devil, had restored him to his right mind. He owed his life, his soul, to Jesus. Jesus is your Savior too. Just as surely as he rescued that man, he has redeemed you as well, purchased and won you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. And he didn't accomplish it with just a word from his mouth, nor with a payment even of gold or silver. Oh no, the cost to him was his own holy, precious blood, his innocent suffering and death on a cross. He took the curse your sin had earned. He bore it in his body on the tree. He did it all for you, so that you might be his own, so that you might live under him in his kingdom, so that you might serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. We hear that Jesus didn't let the man go with him. Instead, he sent him away to his home, telling him to declare how much God had done for him. How much God had done for him. More than he could possibly have expected. More than he could have hoped for. And what did the man do? He went away, Luke writes, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Did you catch that? Jesus said, declare how much God has done for you. And the man proclaimed how much Jesus had done for him. It wasn't just the demons who recognized Jesus that day. This man, too, having benefited from Jesus' authority and having received from him mercy, glorified God by telling everyone what Jesus had done. Jesus doesn't send you or me away, but continues to be with us. Each day, every week, he would come to you by his word to sustain and strengthen you in the faith. He would remind you that he made you his own through holy baptism, washing away your sin, and by the sign of the cross marking you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Week after week, he gives you the cost of your redemption in the Holy Supper, his true body, and his holy precious blood shed for the forgiveness of your sin. Though your sins be as scarlet, he makes them as white as snow. The truth is that there is nothing that you or I can do to free ourselves from our sinful condition. But God is gracious to you for the sake of Jesus. And though you are a sinner, mercifully forgives you and restores you and is leading you to everlasting life. Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done for you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.